Tuesday, March 10th. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. It is day two of the tampering period. Free agency officially begins on Wednesday, but today is, we all know, part of that unofficial official start. Everything can start becoming official on Wednesday, but it's great to have you here today. My name's Damon Bruce. Thank you so much for coming on by. And Godzilla has reached the shores of San Francisco. Did you know that that's Mike Evans's nickname? Hasn't been really popularized, but when I looked that up, I'm like, oh, Godzilla? Well, you know, look at this logo right here. I am pro Godzilla, as most of you are readily aware of. And all I can tell you is that he was called Godzilla because this dude is a legit 6'5", and he is strong as hell, and he dominates man-to-man coverage, which is exactly the kind of wide receiver that the 49ers needed. What they didn't need was someone as old as he is. What they didn't need is someone who has been a little bit more injury-prone than available over the last couple of seasons. But I tell you, I like the Mike Evans signing, and you should too, an awful lot. He played a full season in 2023, 14 games in 2028, only 8 games in 2025. The only thing that you might be worried about in terms of injury was the hamstring that went on him. That's too bad. He also broke his collarbone, and that's just the price of doing business in football. A fresh as a daisy rookie can break his collarbone, so that's not like, you know, you got old and that's why you did that. Otherwise, this dude is 80 catches and about 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns rolling out of bed in every season of his career. He is going to the Hall of Fame. He started his career with 11 1,000-yard receiving seasons, and only Jerry Rice has ever done that in the history of professional football. His work ethic, from that standpoint alone, Mike Evans's work ethic, think of the opposite of Brandon Ayuk. I mean, that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with somebody who is a grinder, who is in the facility all the time, who is not trying to rehab away, not trying to have a mysterious relationship with his own team. Beyond that, he's a student of the game. He is a film study, you know, savant, and he's got all of those traits that Hall of Famers usually have. You know, you don't really become a Hall of Famer on talent alone. You better have some Hall of Fame traits and work ethic and discipline. And Mike Evans has all of that. There is absolutely no doubt that he is going to prepare a young around him wide receiver room to be better pros. Now, Mike Evans can't just be symbolically on the San Francisco 49ers. He just can't be a mentor, somebody to show everyone the way it's supposed to be done. For this to truly work out, he has got to be out there. He's got to be making plays on game day. And, you know, as somebody who's owned Mike Evans in just this last fantasy season, I'll tell you that there's no player who you were more like, is he playing? Is he not playing? Is he going to affect my, you know, there's a little worry there. But I like the move, and the price is incredibly digestible for the San Francisco 49ers. It really is. Matt Maiocco reports that it's a $16.5 million year one investment. Now, the price does go up and starts to drift into expensive if he hits all of his bonuses. But at that point, you're just going to be saying, like, thanks, Mike. You hit your bonuses. No one's going to be angry at a guy hitting his bonuses. You don't get angry at the salesman who's hitting his bonuses. So that is good. If he's healthy, if he's productive, this is a very good move for the San Francisco 49ers. If he struggles to stay healthy, if he's only leading by example, well, that wide receiver room remains in an awful lot of trouble. There's no doubt about it. But make absolutely no mistakes. There is no interpreting what has just happened. Beyond Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle, this is the best offensive weapon that Brock Purdy has ever had. And he's certainly the best wide receiver that he has ever had to throw to in his young career so far. So this is going to be really good for Brock Purdy. Again, Brock carves up zone coverage. It's why he's got one of the greatest quarterback ratings since being drafted into the NFL. His QBR is elite. He shreds, absolutely shreds zone coverage. But when you go man-to-man, and this is probably an indictment as much as the 49ers as it could be on Brock and their wide receiver core, his numbers go down in man-to-man coverage. Mike Evans is born to beat man-to-man coverages. even as he's gotten a heartbeat slower from the prime of his career. He is still a coverage beater. Again, he is 6'5", 6'5", with real heft to him. This is a B-I-G-M-A-N. And that is exactly what the 49ers need. He is a red zone target. He is a middle of the field threat. He is a borderline threat. He is an on the edge of your offense threat. He's a threat anywhere on the football field when he is healthy. I like this deal an awful lot. And if he stays healthy, you are going to like this deal an awful lot too. So the first move that the 49ers make is one that I don't think you can argue with in really any way. Do you wish you were a couple years younger? Of course you do. Everyone wishes they were a couple years younger these days. I know I do. But this is a outstanding player at an incredibly reasonable price, as the wide receiver market is literally exploding and hardly being able to find value anywhere. This conceivably could turn into one of the most value-ridden NFL contracts if he has a big year next year and if the 49ers do something. So if you have any sticker shock on Mike Evans, you shouldn't. This is better than the price of doing business that you're getting at the position pretty much everywhere else around the NFL. So I like this an awful lot. I really, really do. Those who are trying to pivot as this is a confirmation that Brock Purdy is a good quarterback because Mike Evans chose him. Mike Evans had a checklist and the 49ers hit it all. And one of those was that Brock was a good quarterback. And I didn't believe Brock was a good quarterback, but now I do because Mike Evans told you so. Like, what are you watching? You shouldn't have needed Mike Evans' signing with the 49ers for you to think, yeah, that was the right move to do. This is, though, without a doubt, the best weapon that the 49ers have had at wide receiver. I'm not even kidding. Maybe going back to Anquan Boldin. You know, I know Ayuk had a minute there. I know Debo had a hell of a season. But this is a significant player when healthy. So I like the move an awful lot. I really, really do. I got no problems with the 49ers signing Mike Evans. And obviously, George Kittle's not going to be available next year. But Evans and CMC could both produce huge for the 49ers next season. I like it. These guys get it done on Sundays. I like the move. You should like the move, too. Are we happy? I hope we're happy. Cheers to that. Little sip of the day. Don't you think it's the right time for that? I know I do. I see a lot of comments coming in here. We're going to get to all of them. But first, I need to tell you, let me make this just kind of shrink a little bit and bring this guy up just a little bit. This guy, Ike, has something absolutely delicious waiting for you at his sandwich shop. Don't take my word for it. Go and find out for yourself. And remember, as we get closer and closer to his birthday on March 26th, on Thursdays, you get a sandwich with a extreme discount coming up on your second sandwich when you use promo Ike B-Day. So there you go. My man Ike has something absolutely delicious waiting for you. For this live stream, we would like to thank our new sponsor, Kalshi. Now, Kalshi is something that you've, of course, heard about. These predictive markets are popping up everywhere, and this is the best one. I want you to check it out. And when you do, use promo code Damon to trade $20 right off the rip with our good friends at Kalshi. There are real money markets. This is people trading on what they think will happen. It is available in all 50 states, and it is the largest legal prediction market in the United States right now with over 1 million users. They pay you interest on your positions if you take a long-term play. So it's not like something that you bet on needs to play its way all the way out for you to go ahead and start cashing in. And if you want to explore it even more, and I hope that you do, click on the link that is in the description of this very live stream that you are watching right now and use promo code Damon when you sign up for Kalshi. So we thank them. We welcome them here into the Damon Bruce Plus family. And I need to officially tell you that our friends at the Dubliner unfortunately have to take a pause in their sponsorship. Now, to say that I'm going to love the Dubliner forever would be an understatement. Kenny and John have been fantastic to me. I want you to still be great to the Dubliner, but not all local small businesses can just go on with advertising campaigns forever. And I completely understand that. So I love everyone who has ever advertised here on the Plus, you know, starting with our original sponsor, Blackened Whiskey by Metallica. We had Uncle Boys. I still stop by for burgers there. Get the lumpia at Uncle Boy's. I got lots of love for our boys at the Dubliner. And who knows, maybe fate brings us back together someday soon. I'll certainly be into the Dubliner for the best pulled Guinness in San Francisco. That does not change one bit. Love the guys at the Dubliner. But if you're saying, hey, you know, I've got a business that I'd like to maybe sponsor on your channel, reach out, because we are in the market to add a new sponsor. Again, welcome to Kalshi. Thank you to Ike's, and bonsoir to our good friends at the Dubliner. They've been so great to me. Hopefully we've been great for them as well. And again, I'll be in to see Kenny and grab a beer within the next couple of weeks. I promise you that. So, we got a super here from Big Tone saying Delaney Walker said Cowboy punched Joe. Cowboy said that was BS. Delaney is a fabrication artist. Yeah, that was a little bit of a story that was shared on a podcast where Delaney Walker talked about how Justin Smith went ahead and hit Joe Staley at a party that Joe Staley was throwing, through all of his furniture into the fire, his tiki furniture, and then had new furniture delivered the very next day. All I can tell you is that Justin Smith was a wild man. And I don't know how much of that story is true or fabricated or exaggerated, but I can tell you right now, the choice between the truth and the legend, give me the legend on that one. I love the legend of that. So I hope that one is true. I like it. Damon, how about a second and a third for Jonathan Greenard? You know, I wouldn't want to add both of those. Can we go third and a fourth maybe? Because I saw that the Niners picked up some serious conditional picks the other day. We'll get to that in just a second. But it's good to see you all in here. It really, really is. Thanks for coming on by today. Starting, of course, with our man, the Postman.
Oy, oy, oy!
In Capitola. Look at everybody here. Yeah, Monday part two. Pound that like button on the way in. Hit that like button on the way in. Hit that subscribe button while you're sticking around, and that way you'll be brought back here for more breaking Niners news, whether it be a video, a live stream, a short. We're doing it all here on YouTube Plus. Thank you, Mazel. Great to have you. Good morning to everyone out here on the West Coast, and good afternoon to everyone on the East Coast. So, look, it was a very interesting day one of free agency. The Niners also, beyond Mike Evans, signed an offensive lineman that you've never heard of before. Guy's got a great name. Vidarian Lowe. It's a 2-year contract worth a maximum of $12 million with 5.75 guaranteed. That price point alone lets you know there is no world in which he is Trent Williams' replacement that the Niners should ever feel comfortable with. This guy is a swing tackle. He is capable. He is not an incapable player. He started 13 games for the Patriots at left tackle in 2024. Again, he was replaced, and they did get better at left tackle when they did that with Matt Campbell, who I know had a bad, rough Super Bowl. Everyone knows that, but he was a rookie, and the New England Patriots reached the Super Bowl. He appeared in 42 games with 25 starts. He's only 27 years old, and that's why I really like it. You know, when you're 27 years old in the NFL and you've had as much experience in games as he's had, and you can play, it's not like you're a bad player. You're not necessarily a rock-solid starter, but this guy and Austin Pleasance, to me, are two guys you would want to have on your team. This is a swing tackle. This is good offensive line depth. He was originally drafted by Minnesota, and remember, Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah was the Minnesota Vikings general manager. He was dismissed, and he came back to Santa Clara, and that's where Minnesota plucked him from. He was in the 49ers front office. He is back in the 49ers front office, and a guy that he drafted as a late-round draft pick is now in Santa Clara with him. It's a young, still experienced offensive line depth piece and a spot starter for a team that needs that. He is not a solution to the Trent Williams problem. And those who are trying to present this as a solution to the Trent Williams contract tete-a-tete, like you're all crazy. you're all crazy. And I honestly, I think the 49ers here are acting a little bit crazy. I think it's time that the 49ers need to basically say out loud, if not to the media, to themselves, we really shouldn't be going forward without Trent Williams. And they've sort of painted themselves into this corner. And you don't want to have money committed into, you know, years 39 and 40 of anybody in the NFL. You really don't. But I feel that that's just the price of doing business. And the 49ers need to worry more about making sure Brock Purdy doesn't die this season than dead cap space in future seasons beyond it. Again, it's all accounting, and I know that dead cap numbers scare everyone away. NFL teams don't care about dead cap numbers nearly the way that fans do. So you shouldn't care about it if the league doesn't care about it. It's just good advice from Uncle Damon here. Don't care about it. Is it restrictive in terms of team growth? Yes and no. It's like the salary cap itself. Is it real? Yes and no. I don't think that they can afford to trade Trent Williams unless the return was really, really something else. I think they got to have Trent Williams next season. I really do. And I think that they're going to find that offensive line Jesus as well as they sit and pray about what to do. We prayed on the situation. And what do you know? We ended up re-signing Trent. They still have plenty of cap room. They can still get this Trent Williams deal done. They can still move money around. There are still ways to have a shell game, which means it all works out in the end and you have Trent Williams back. And Trent Williams is still a significant enough a player and an entity on an offensive line that needs to get better. There is really no world in which they get better without him. You know, just trying to stay the same with him will be enough of a challenge. I think they got to bring Trent back. I know Larry and I on Wake Up talked an awful lot about the trade. Will there be a trade? And look, maybe something happens while the show is on. Maybe something happens in the next 24, 48 hours. Free agency is several days here still. There's still an awful lot to come. But this is an issue that I just do not believe the 49ers can be comfortable leaving unresolved. It just can't happen. Yeah, I think this is fair. I think this is totally fair here, San Bruno Mike. Salary cap, it's more like guidelines than it really is a rule. Romeo Doubs going to the Patriots. Is that official, JP from the 510? Again, I'm doing the show. I'm not looking at that anywhere else. But okay. You know, Doubs would have been a player that I would have liked to have seen in a 49ers uniform. But to me, that is not the beginning and end of are the 49ers going to be competitive next year. I'm not that worried about Romeo Doubs. And again, what was the price on Doubs? What was that? Let me know what that price is on Doubs before I tell you whether or not the Niners should have been all over that or not. Geno Smith getting traded back to the Jets. Oh, my God. Tracy, thank you. I hadn't seen that. Who says you can't go home again? Look, so the thing that I don't like about that is that feels like another Mac Jones landing spot. It feels like the game of musical chairs is no longer on the Mac Jones can get traded to anywhere the Niners want to flip him. As a matter of fact, the thing about Mac Jones, I think, is just this. Either way, this game of musical chairs stops. You're either going to have Mac Jones sitting in a chair behind Brock Purdy, which I do not mind, or he will become a vehicle to make the team a little bit better around Brock Purdy. And I see the value in either direction. And look, insurance seems like a waste of money right until you're cashing in on that policy. We just watched the Niners cash in the Mac Jones policy, and it's the only reason why they went to the playoffs last year. The only reason. I don't think Curtis Rourke was ready. I don't know if Curtis Rourke will be ready. I think that having the unquestioned best backup quarterback, especially right now when you're existing in a world where Trent Williams isn't quite in frame yet, that's not a bad thing for the 49ers to have. Now, extra picks, because Mac Jones was traded for those extra picks, that wouldn't be a bad thing to have either. I see the merit and the demerits of it. You know, hey, congratulations, you traded Mac Jones. You got a couple of extra picks that landed a few extra players to plug a few holes that this team needs to plug. Mwah. Great idea. Brock Purdy goes down in week four, but this time it's a really bad Brock Purdy went down. How do you feel about trading Mac Jones now? Well, you know, we got an outside linebacker and, you know, and something. Well, right now you need a quarterback because Brock Purdy just got hurt. Turning to Mac Jones and saying save the season is a comfortable thing to do. You know, I would also say with any backup quarterback, you don't really want to push it. And maybe Mac Jones has really found his best footing as a backup quarterback. And if you leave him out there too long, he gets a little bit too exposed and there's too much film on him and too much game tape, and now you're in trouble again. I love Mac Jones as QB2 of the 49ers. If he remains QB2 of the 49ers, that is not a bad thing. That is not a negative. That is not a strike against John Lynch's inability to move him or flip him from assets. I think this is an important asset that the team would still need. And again, if you do trade him, all right. It's not the worst thing in the world that could possibly happen. What I do know is that if you're looking for more picks, folks, you got them. The 49ers Monday were awarded three compensatory picks in this upcoming draft for net losses that happened a year ago in free agency. The NFL announced that the 49ers are picking up three picks in the fourth round in numbers 133, 138, and 139. So what an interesting day three the NFL draft will be for the 49ers. They're going to have three picks, boom, 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 right in a row there at the end of the fourth round. And that is compensation, by the way, for Aaron Banks, Joshua Dobbs, Dre Greenlaw, Talanoa Hufanga, Jalen Moore, and Chavarius Ward, all switching teams on the 49ers last year. So I'm comfortable with that. I'm good with that, especially if, you know, it feels like that's kind of where the Mac Jones return would have come. Another fourth rounder, a third rounder. I think a second rounder was wishful thinking for Mac Jones. I really do. But the game of musical chairs gets harder for Mac Jones to find a seat in with Geno Smith being signed by the New York Jets today. So we have an interesting and changing NFC West, and it'll change more before this live stream is probably over. Because there are moves that are coming out, it feels like, every 15 minutes in the NFL. Yesterday, it was every 5 minutes. Today, it's every 15 minutes. And so much of every 5 minutes involved the Raiders yesterday. And we'll get there in just a second. But the Seahawks, you know, they re-signed Rashid Shaheed. Big contract for him. He's such an important piece, though, for their special teams and as a wide receiver. But they lost three others in Kenneth Walker III, Boye Mafi, and Kobe Bryant. So they lost important defensive line help. They lost their starting safety, and they lost the MVP of the Super Bowl. So the Seahawks are not quite the same right now. The Rams are loading up on experienced cornerback depth. They've done that again after trading for OJ McDuffie. They added another corner yesterday from Kansas City in free agency. So the Rams don't plan on going anywhere. As a matter of fact, they're planning on going for it. The Arizona Cardinals signed Kendrick Bourne. He is no longer a 49er and will probably not hear much about him really again. Arizona is sort of where, you know, NFL dreams go to die. That includes Kyler Murray's NFL dream. He is no longer a part of the Arizona Cardinals. And the saying, or the rumor is, it's not a saying, but the rumor was that the Cardinals were hot on the pursuit of Malik Willis. They really wanted to add Malik Willis, who is now with the Dolphins. By the way, a couple of lefties officially in Atlanta now, with Michael Penix, and Tua Tagovailoa is now in Atlanta. So, get your Magic City wings and eat them with your left hand to be like a Falcons quarterback. Just don't do it at the Hawks promotional night. I see the NBA canceled that. They wanted a strip club promotional night. Either way, the pivot now, since there's no Malik Willis apparently in Arizona, is to go to Jimmy Garoppolo. They're interested in adding Jimmy Garoppolo. So how about that? You would have, you know, three starting quarterbacks in the NFC West, all having been former students or a current student under Kyle Shanahan. Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy, and Jimmy Garoppolo if he were to sign with Arizona. So that's something else. We'll see what happens to Juwan Jennings. His market is still alive. He's probably in a new uniform in the next 48 hours, so we'll keep an eye on that. Again, Juwan had his moments with the 49ers to where, look, there should be no hard feelings at all about him putting on another uniform. He was a good Niner at the price that they had him at, and now it's probably the walk-away time from Juwan Jennings. Or maybe, just maybe, there's a deal to be struck with him, but I don't think so, and I'd much rather that money be allocated toward Trent Williams than anyone else. I know that the money left over for the 49ers in free agency, a lot of people were thinking, well, that could be Dobbs still. That could be a lot of guys still. What I want it to be is Trent Williams is back in the room and in the huddle and on the team. That's what I want it to be more than anything else. I don't think that there is another wide receiver to add or running back depth or an offensive lineman other than Trent Williams that they could add that would be better than just, hey, Trent is back. And we might have to kick the financial responsibility of that into a year where he's retired. But c'est la vie. I mean, that's part of doing business in this league. The business in this league went bonkers yesterday. And if you were looking for the moment where the Raiders could show you that moving to Las Vegas would create an element of financial flexibility that they can really lean into, you saw it yesterday. You know, I like John Spytek. I think he's a good general manager. I've liked his draft picks. And I like the way that he made the tough call on Max Crosby. I like the way that they didn't mess around and cut a player that they thought was toxic for the locker room. I think that the Raiders are in better hands now with John Spytek than before. $322 million was spent yesterday by the Las Vegas Raiders. $234 million in guarantees. So whenever you sign a player, you have to put that money in escrow. In other words, let's say a shrink ray hits your franchise and it's now down to a grain of sand. You can't play football anymore. It's gone. The Las Vegas Raiders just disappear. Well, if you've got guaranteed money, it's not sitting in some Raider bank account. It's sitting in escrow. So one of the reasons why the Raiders were always on the cheap around free agency isn't because they were an unsexy destination. It's because Mark Davis didn't have that kind of money to just put in a bank vault and wait. He wasn't liquid enough. That was a big part of the reason why he needed to move to Las Vegas. Somewhere where more money was coming in. Well, that more money was absolutely splashed yesterday. My favorite signing is Tyler Linderbaum. He is going to be guarding Fernando Mendoza. And he's the first man in between him and danger because he is one of the best young centers in all of football. And he has got a three-year, $81 million deal that includes a $60 million guarantee and makes him the highest paid interior offensive lineman in NFL history. A crown that he will wear for what? 12 to 18 months at most? You know, the price of poker does not go down in football for attractive free agents. They also signed wide receiver Jalen Naylor. He agreed to a three-year, $35 million deal. That's $23 million guaranteed. There's no complaining about that either, really. The Raiders reached deals with Quay Walker, N'Kobe Dean, and defensive end Quiddy Pay. $80 million guaranteed to those three guys, just among them. Defensive end Malcolm Kuntz returned to the Raiders on a one-year, $11 million contract. They even signed kicker Matt Gay, who came in and spelled an injured Eddie Pinheiro for the 49ers last season, and he didn't miss a kick when he was in there. So the Raiders got themselves a kicker as well. Again, John Spytek got very aggressive with the money that he was allocated to spend, and he went out there on day one. And a lot of people tell you, well, splashing that much cash around on day one is a mistake. I don't think this was. I like the signings. Again, he's about to get Mendoza at number one. His draft picks beyond that are going to go an awful long way to dictating whether or not Clint Kubiak has a, hey, we're here and we're back right away year. But he's got those Max Crosby draft picks now to play with. This is a team that could actually look like, function, sound like, and appear like an actual dangerous NFL football team again in the blink of an eye. The Raiders, boys and girls, I'm not going to say it. Like, I don't want to say it like the Raiders are back, because the anvil always falls out of the sky. The piano always comes down on everyone's head. It does. But the Raiders might be back. And the cultural difference that Fernando Mendoza is going to create on that team, I don't think it can be diminished or dismissed. Mendoza is one of those real, true, follow him into battle level leaders who just took a college football team that was utterly devoid of culture and won the Heisman Trophy during an undefeated national championship season. You know, this kid is for real. He is for real. And there will be growing pains. There always are. There's no such thing as the transition from college to pro was smooth with zero regression at any point in time. It's not quite that. There's none of that. You know, but Patrick Mahomes is the closest thing we saw to that. And remember, Patrick Mahomes got to sit a little bit behind Alex Smith. Maybe, just maybe, Mac Jones to the Raiders would be the right bridge guy. Just throwing that out there. I'm sure it's been thought of a little bit. Too Much Sauce says, when it's said and done, will Mendoza be a Hall of Famer? Well, let's go ahead and see him complete one NFL pass first before we talk about his Hall of Fame candidacy. I will say this. There is absolutely no doubt when the time comes, he will be a first ballot college football Hall of Famer. He will be enshrined in Atlanta in the College Football Hall of Fame. He did the unthinkable at Indiana in Bloomington. The Heisman Trophy and the National Championship Trophy are both calling Bloomington, Indiana home. He's going to the College Football Hall of Fame. The NFL Hall of Fame? Let's let him get through a practice or two before we start making big, bold predictions there. I will say, I'm going to kind of be rooting for the Raiders now. Like, I try not to root for the 49ers because that colors my unbiased journalistic integrity. And I want the Niners to do well. It's always good for the channel. It's always makes people in the city of San Francisco happy. I want my city happy. It makes my wife happy when the Niners win. It makes my kids happy when the Niners win. I get happy when the Niners win, but I'm not like actively rooting for. I'm going to be rooting for Mendoza to be successful. Now, Tom asked a very good question here, saying, will the Raiders do any business with the Niners? This wouldn't be business with the San Francisco 49ers as much as it would just be a little bit of a trade. It wouldn't be major business. I don't think it would be. It would be the kind of business where the Raiders would be able to make the argument, we're getting the upside over here because we get the player that we need right now to make sure Mendoza comes into this league smoothly. I think it's more like business between them and Mac Jones, even though the Niners would get a draft pick or two back. This would be the one time where when I think of business reluctance between the 49ers and Raiders, I see Mark Davis not wanting to give the 49ers any real assets. I think when you look at the asset going in the other direction, it's more likely to happen. So I would say maybe. See, I don't believe this at all, by the way. Chosen, $14.94. Jimmy G would help Mendoza for cheaper. Not really. I don't think Jimmy G is a disciplined enough, good enough teammate to take anyone under his wing and try to make them better. It's just not who Jimmy is. It's not who he was in San Francisco. Again, Jimmy G would absolutely ghost his own coaching staff and not return texts or calls unless he was actually in season. I am obligated to be here, Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a handsome guy. I don't know if he's a great teammate in terms of grooming behind him at all, at all. So I don't think that that is a fit for the Raiders. But the Raiders splashed some serious cash around the first day of NFL free agency, which historically doesn't really translate into an awful lot of winning for the team that does it. But the team that has that much cash to splash rarely also is getting a new head coach and the number one overall pick in the draft at the same time. The Raiders got an awful lot of DNA changing attributes to this season, this offseason. And they needed to change their DNA an awful lot. Steve with a super that asks, is Mahomes old? He's 30 and undersized, 6'2". Well, 6'2 is an undersized, but Mahomes, where is Patrick Mahomes in his? Yeah, he is 30 now. And he will be 31 in like week one or two. He's a September birthday. All I can tell you is that Patrick Mahomes is still a state-of-the-art entity that you're not. I mean, if your question is like, is it time to start walking away or thinking about replacing? No. No, Patrick Mahomes is so all day and all night long special that there's, I don't care how old Patrick Mahomes is. that how about this? He's going to have to be a whole lot older for anyone to bring up. How old is Patrick Mahomes now? I mean, I would agree. I would agree with this, Scott in the Bay. There is hope with foundation pieces in place for the Raiders. Yeah. How about this? It appears there may be a little sparkle of light at the end of the tunnel. Where there's not a lot of light at the end of the tunnel right now, that is for the Golden State Warriors playoff hopes. That was a bad, bad, bad loss in Utah. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, with zero debate here, the Utah Jazz don't even want to win. They don't want to win the basketball game that they're playing, and they still beat the Golden State Warriors last night. Utah pulled a starter, Keontae George, off the floor for the entire fourth quarter, and they've got guys out there who weren't even drafted into the NBA. Like, I know the Warriors were deep into their JV G League roster last night. No Horford, no Porzingis, no Mood, no everybody that matters, really. And it was still a terrible loss for the Warriors. The Warriors got dropped to 500. They're now 32-32 again. Brandon Podziemski, who, you know, Brandon Podziemski had been playing better basketball this month for sure. But last night he missed four fourth quarter free throws in a 3-point loss. The Warriors had eight guys in double figures and lose because not one of them, Podziemski included, can create a shot on his own. Not one of them. The Warriors were just lazy as hell and just jacking threes all over the city of Salt Lake last night. They were 16 of 52 from downtown. 16 of 52 means we got nothing to run out here. Just take a three. Just take, what are we going to do? What's this offensive possession going to look like? We're going to take a three. 16 of 52. And they missed seven free throws in a game that they lost by 3 points. That's bad basketball. The Warriors got the Bulls tonight. They're on a back-to-back. Minnesota comes into town on Friday. It feels like that's a scheduled loss. This Bulls game should be a scheduled win, but I thought that Jazz game was as close to a scheduled win as you can get. Again, they don't want to win. Neither do the Chicago Bulls. So you better not lose to two teams back-to-back tanking. Meanwhile, the Warriors have lost 4 of 5. You got Steve Kerr talking about shortening the season in the postgame. Now he's looking at his roster. You know what's short, Steve? Your roster's short. You'd talk less about shortening the season if you had a couple tall guys playing basketball for you. I'm sure of it. You know, you're putting way too much faith in a lacrosse player on a basketball team. Silent says, the 49ers play low ball with Trent. I feel bad for Purdy. Again, the Niners, I don't like the way that they negotiate. They piss off their own important guys far too often. I think they need better business practices. And I'm going to put that on Parag. I'm going to put that on Jed, because those guys set the tone in that department. But it's far too often like an acrimonious situation with way too many players who are way too important all of the time. You know, I'm sorry that you don't want to pay Trent what he is probably deserving of right now, or maybe asking a little bit too more of. But guess what? Guess what? You just need to pay him. So do it. Don't rake us all over the coals while you're doing it. Just get it done. We got Bill Wagner saying, would you want to bring back the NBC NBA broadcast starring Reggie Miller and Snoop Dogg? Can we leave Reggie out of it and just have Snoop? I think that would probably be more entertaining. I've never been a big Reggie Miller as a broadcaster guy. He's not offensive, but he's not great at it either, as far as I'm concerned. I really don't care. Give me Fitz and Buki. Anyways, so Steve Kerr has got a short basketball team, can't create their own shots. And in the post game, there's Steve Kerr talking about shortening the season once again. Now here, let me meet Steve Kerr in the middle of the street on this one. You don't need to shrink the number of games. You need to grow the season. Excuse me if I sound like a broken record on this. I think you've seen me do this segment before, but I'm going to do it again because it is real. It is real. As is the pace of this league dramatically being something different from what we call our golden memories of basketball. I'm going to challenge you right now. Pick your favorite basketball memory, whether it contain Michael Jordan or Larry Bird or Magic Johnson, even Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant. Go back and try to watch 10 minutes of game flow from that era. It is a different sport to what they're playing right now. The pace of this league is absolutely off the charts. The pace of this league creates a greater tax on player bodies than ever before. And the 82 games that you're playing now are nothing like the 82 games you played in 1982, 1992, 2002. Hell, I'll even give you 2012. You know, as the Warriors dynasty was at its dawn, basketball was different. The Warriors changed the pace of play greatly, greatly. But these NBA owners are never giving money back. All of the streaming services, all of the rights holders are never going to want less basketball to be able to turn around and distribute or sell. So instead of talking about something that will never happen, why don't we focus on something that could easily happen and be an instant solution to the problems that are ailing An 82-game season is just too much on these guys. Now, I went ahead and I used the interwebs to look something up today. The NBA's opening night, this season that we're in right now, the NBA's opening night was October 21st. Now, I remember it being pretty common to where the beginning of the NBA season was even a little closer to Halloween, if not after Halloween for some teams. Guess what, though? Watch this. October 21st. Let's start on October 1st instead. Shall we? Let's start on October 1st instead. Well, we don't want to compete with the NBA, or excuse me, we don't want to compete with the World Series. We don't want to compete with all the football that is happening. Well, tough. You got a winter sport. That's what's going to happen. Okay? You're going to have to do that anyway. And what I'm trying to tell you is the healthier players that you have, the more availability in players that you have, the more people are going to watch because it's going to be a better product. Nespa? That's what you're telling me. So watch this. I am going to magically, a la peanut butter sandwiches, I'm going to magically make 20 days appear. Instead of starting on October 21st, we're going to start on October 1st. I just created, out of thin air, 20 days for the NBA to use. Now watch this. I'm going to take it a step further. This magic trick happens on both sides of the season, when it starts and when it ends. The Warriors' final game this season is on April 12th. Well, watch this. End the season on April 22nd. I just bought you 20 days at the beginning of the season. I bought you 10 more days at the end of the season. For the sake of discussion, let's call that a month. I just bought and invented the NBA a month it didn't think it had. Congratulations. Well, you know, the NBA finals, it always happens in June. Says who? We don't need the NBA finals to end in June. You can push that out to July. You can push it all a little bit further down the road. And we go from not enough time in between games of the regular season to too much time in between games in the postseason. So even shrink your postseason a little bit. You know, turn that into more of a grind and a war of attrition than your regular season has become. But I just, again, I just found an entire month of rest for the entire NBA. This isn't going to just benefit the Warriors. This helps everybody. Here's an extra month for you to load manage the shit out of everybody. Nobody has to miss a game. You have an extra month. Just stay in bed for an extra month. How am I not commissioner? I am doing a better job than Adam Silver in that one idea alone. What are we doing here? How do they continue to trip over the same thing that has the easiest solution in the history of looking for a solution? What you're telling me is you need more time. I found it. It's right there. Start your season earlier, end your season later. There's an extra month for you, and we're still playing 82 games. From a historical context, like, will I agree with you that a lot of these games are disposable? Yeah, they are. You know, yes. Yes. But from a historical context standpoint, the NBA season needs to be an 82-game season. That's what they always used to be. That's what they're always gonna be. We're never, ever gonna have a shorter year. Don't even talk about it, Steve. Steve Kerr talking about less games in the NBA carries about as much weight as Steve Kerr talking about how Steph Curry is gonna win the dunk contest. Like, that shit just ain't gonna happen. Let's not even talk about it. Let's not even talk about it. Let's talk about real solutions. Enough of hypothetical wishing. You know, how do you fix the NBA? How do you fix the NBA? Let me do a 5,000-word think piece. How do you fix the NBA? Or you just do this. Start it earlier, end it later. I just saved you 4,997 words. What are we doing? I mean, I know a lot of I'm not a genius. I'm not a genius. I can't be the only one thinking about this. Yeah, hand banana. No team plays more than four games in a week. What do you know? Isn't that a great idea? Indigo, I'm impressed with the correct pronunciation of Nespa. Yeah, well, you shouldn't be. Oh, there's a reason why you're watching here. You're not dealing with an idiot. Let me tell you what we're about to deal with. The most important stretch of the entire Shark season. It is here, right now. We got Sharks at the Buffalo Sabres this evening. Buffalo is really good. This is a big game for the Sharks. It's tonight at 4 o'clock West Coast time. This is a critical five-game road trip for the Sharks, and eight of their next 10 are away from the tank. So eight of their next 10 games are coming on the road. This is a big East Coast swing that they're on right now. This stretch is the playoff chances fork in the road. It really, really is. These next 10 games are either, at the end of them, San Jose is either going to be pointed right at the bullseye of being the first or second wild card, or they're going to find themselves, I think, out of the conversation. There are 21 games left in the regular season, and you want the Sharks to now win as often as possible, and you're hoping for both Seattle and Utah, the mammoth, to lose as much as possible between now and mid-April. If the Sharks get on a little heater here over their final 21 and they can keep on banking wins or going to overtime and at least banking a point, getting to overtime is so much better than just losing a game right now for the Sharks. So you're playing for wins, you're playing for OT. Do not lose, and hopefully Seattle and Utah come back a little bit to you, and the Sharks could be a postseason team. And what a fun run that might be, whether it runs to the second round or not. This team, as young as they are, just tasting postseason hockey would be good for them and their future. It would also be good for everybody's collective local interest here in the Bay Area. So go Sharks, or excuse me, we already have this represented.
Go Sharks!
Indeed.
Go Sharks!
Thank you very much, Ralph. So there you go. It is day two of tampering period. Let's see what the 49ers do today. There is no out-of-town name that I am more interested in seeing being attached to the 49ers today than the in-town name of Trent Williams and this deal getting done. And if it is a trade, good luck with that. I would not be trading Trent Williams because you're not getting a second round pick for him. And I would much rather you bite the bullet financially and have Trent than have a little extra room in comfortable sweatpants without Trent Williams. Sportacus says, you want to fix the NBA, revert back to officiating every play according to the rule book with no regard for a player's name involved. Oh, well, come on. Star treatment has been the norm throughout every NBA rule book in every NBA era, except for Steph Curry. Steph Curry has the worst multiple MVP whistle of all time. Everybody, let me tell you, man, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander won the MVP again last night. What a game between the Thunder and the Nuggets last night. God, that was great. I had that on in the kitchen. I was watching it on my phone because Jillian is actually in Atlanta for the next two nights on a little bit of a quick business trip. So I got the boys. We watched Pete's Dragon last night. Do you remember that Disney movie, Pete's Dragon? We didn't watch the remake either. The boys want to see that. There's like a modern Pete's Dragon. We watched the old one. We watched the old one with the animated like cartoon dragon in it. And let me tell you, that dragon's not in the movie enough. That movie doesn't exactly age great. The songs aren't really memorable. And what is really something else? Like, that wouldn't put that in a modern movie. I doubt it's in the remake. Mickey Rooney is in this movie. I hadn't seen this movie since I was like 12 years old. And we're watching Pete's Dragon last night. My boys loved it. They really liked it. But Mickey Rooney is the town drunk. And in a kid's movie, Mickey Rooney is walking around hammered 85% of the time, 90% of the time he's on screen. He is a bumbling, stumbling, mumbling town drunk. And it's like charming. Yeah, oh, look at the drunk. The times have changed. Times have changed. But yeah, Pete's Dragon. It's a razzle dazzle day. I haven't heard that song in 35, 40 years. And now it's been stuck in my head since last night. When they're painting the lighthouse, it's a razzle dazzle day. Too much sauce says the NFL needs lifetime insurance. The NBA needs more days in between games. Damon Bruce, you are a better commissioner. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think I would be. I think I'd do a better job for both leagues than current commissioners are really doing. Again, because I'm not just there to do business. I'm there to make it right. Unfortunately, that is no longer the job of any commissioner in any sport. Getting it right, being beholden to what's right for the sport, comes secondary to being beholden to what is right for the owners. And the only thing the owners see is right is more profit, more money. Michelle Haberman. I love Pete's Dragon. It was one of my brother's favorites when he was a kiddo. I'm going to tell you this right now, Michelle. I challenge you to watch Pete's Dragon again. It drags. That's a draggy movie. Another question here from Joe Schmo. Do you puff the magic dragon, Falker? I gotta be honest with you. In the middle of Pete's Dragon, I ran downstairs and I puffed the magic dragon so I could get through the rest of that movie. Oh, Candle on the Water. Yeah, Candle on the Water. That's in there too. I need a candle on the water. What do we got here from Sportacus again? Mickey Rooney in Night at the Museum is a riot. Okay. I've never seen Night at the Museum. I know that that's a really popular movie. I've never seen it. I know Robin Williams is in that. Ben Stiller's in that. I've never seen that movie. Michael Chan says, by the way, Damon, nice seeing you last Saturday. You're probably thinking, who the hell is that guy? Yes, nice seeing you too. That was you from the bleachers? Get up and say something. Don't just give me a hey. Like, if you're one of us, if you're a Plooser, come on down and say hello. I'm sorry that I missed. I heard my name. I turned around. I saw a face. I waved. Michael, next time, stop me, man. I'm the least guy you got to be shy around. Crazy Juice says, Disney movies were great when people didn't care what the movie shows. Well, again, you know, but then you become a parent. You got kids watching a town drunk and you have to explain, why is Mickey Rooney slurring in all of his scenes? Why is he acting so silly? Well, he's hammered. Pop into the ganja jar and watch Pete's Dragon without the kids. Again, we've got bigger things to do here. Tiger Tank. I didn't think we would be opening up Pete's Dragon for such incredible debate, but here we are. The reason why Pete's Dragon isn't memorable because it came well after Walt's death when the company was in the dark ages creatively. Yeah, I think Pete's Dragon came out like when I was like 2 or 3 years old. It was from like 78, 79 or something like that. So yeah, that was in the Disney's in the weird phase. Which, you know, Disney's weird and dark creative phase is probably better than the totally overt, you know, like Song of the South. I even looked it up. I'm like, when did they produce the Song of the South? Was that really a mistake? And that was back in the 40s when just everyone was racist as fuck. So the Song of the South, though, was patently offensive. But I'll say this. It's not a great Disney movie. But the kids liked it. And this is, yeah, Michelle says, I watched it a few years ago when the remake came out. Well, I think that's what we're going to do tonight. The boys are going to watch the remake tonight because Daddy's going to have on in the kitchen a little split screen between the Sharks and the Warriors. I got a little something to watch. The kids will be watching the remake of Pete's Dragon. I have no idea what the remake of Pete's Dragon is. We'll see. We'll see. And Banana says, I'd consider this the Dark Ages creative for Disney. Well, here's the thing. Disney's just, you know, they're in the Star Wars business right now more than they're in the, like, let's make shit for kids business. And let me just say this. Andor's something else. It takes a little while to get going, but when you stick with Andor, that is the most, outside of South Park, I don't think there's been a better political commentary on the world that we're living in right now than what Andor is. Andor is pretty special. 77. Oops. Let me not bang my microphone. 77. When Pete's Dragon came out. We got Dino Bravo saying only 73 likes. Yeah, shame on everybody. Let's get those likes up. Boys and girls, hit that like button. Subscribe as well. There you go. Walt died in 66. Okay. Yeah. Andor is one of the good ones. Rogue One. Yeah, Andor gets you right to where Rogue One happens. Disney Pixar Hoppers was really good. You just saw it this past weekend. Okay. I heard Steph Curry's Goat movie was good. Both my kids loved it, and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law both liked that movie. So I think Steph is offering up good kids product right now. All right, on that note, we pull up from the Disney conversation to get historical. Are you ready for today in history? We, as always, begin with birthdays, and what can we do besides salute Captain America himself? Happy birthday, Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris is 86 years old today. Chuck Norris at 86 will still kick your ass today. I'm sure of it. Let me tell you, I saw her once in the marina in person, and it wasn't too long ago. It was probably like 10 or 12 years ago now. Sharon Stone was strikingly gorgeous. Gorgeous woman. Sharon Stone is now 68 years old. She lives here in San Francisco. But Sharon Stone, 68 years old, the most paused moment in maybe movie history, Basic Instinct. Is that a choach? I think I see choach. Anyways, happy birthday to Sharon and the choach. 68 years old, both of them today. John Hamm, 55 years old. John Hamm flipping double nickels. A prolific music producer. Timbaland is 54 years old today. Robin Thicke. The guy had one song, right? Robin Thicke had one song, 49 years old. And I can just tell you this, that Robin Thicke also gave us, Emily Radzikowski, that supermodel, walking around topless in the Blurred Lines video. Carrie Underwood is 43 years old today. Olivia Wilde is 42 years old today. The Bunny himself, Benito. Is that his name, I think, for real? Bad Bunny is 32 years old today. What is that, Trentados? Am I learning that? Did I get that right, Spanish speakers? Trenta y dos? Is that 32? Am I close? I think I am. Justin Herbert of the LA Chargers, 28 years old today. Happy birthdays all around. Today in 1804 in St. Louis, Missouri, a formal ceremony was conducted to transfer the ownership of the Louisiana Territory from France to the United States, the Louisiana Purchase. Ba-boom! Got your receipt for that today. There you go. Yeah, I loved all those old Chuck Norris's. Chuck Norris tells the Grim Reaper when it's time. Age fears Chuck Norris. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Ann Banana. Yeah, I loved all those old Chuck Norris jokes. The Louisiana Purchase, one of the most significant purchases in the history of purchases, was officially signed, sealed, and delivered today. Today in 1876, you want to talk about a moment that changed the world forever? There's not a lot of moments in today in history that you can honestly say that was an earth-shattering moment that changed the way we live. Today in 1876, Alexander Graham Bell spoke the words into his just-completed invention, something called a telephone. Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you. He picked up a phone and called a room with the other phone in it on the other side of the warehouse or their invention laboratory or wherever they were in New Jersey. Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you. It worked. Happy birthday to the telephone. Working for the first time ever today in 1876. Needless to say, the telephone has come quite a long way. Quite a long way since that moment. Today in 1913 in Toledo, Ohio, William Knox became the very first bowler ever to make a perfect score of 300 in an American Bowling Congress tournament. So the first official 300 ever bowled today in Toledo, Ohio. Congratulations to all involved and who were there that day in 1913. By the way, today in 1955. This isn't going to sound very impressive, but then I'm going to tell you what it was used for, and you're going to be like, oh, thank God. A U.S. patent, number 2,704,172, was issued to a man named Aaron S. Lappin. He invented, quote, dispensing valves for gas pressure containers. Doesn't sound very interesting until you find out that's Ready Whip. That's whipped cream as we buy it and know it. Whipped cream. Happy birthday to the patent that gave us all whipped cream. And whenever we have a whipped cream thing in the fridge, man, I see my dad used to see if you couldn't keep a can of ready whip in my refrigerator growing up. Like, we would use it a little bit on like pie or cake or ice cream and then pretty much forget it was there. And my dad would not. And my dad could not walk past the refrigerator without taking it out and just right in his mouth. My kids love that. When I'm like, who wants whipped cream? Jack is there, like a baby bird. Yeah, happy birthday, Whippets. Happy birthday, Whippets. Hey, Chef A is from Toledo. I bowl like crap, by the way. There's nothing you do like crap, Chef A. Everything is Stacey Bon. All right, we're almost at the end of the coffee cup, which means we're almost at the end of today in history. Today in 1978, The Incredible Hulk premiered on CBS, and the legend of Lou Ferrigno was officially born. I mean, The Incredible Hulk was a very important part of my childhood. That came out right around Pete's Dragon. Both were big and green. I know that Thriller is the zenith of the man's contributions to videos, but I don't know if Thriller is necessarily as recognizable or famous as Beat It, just in terms of song or music video. I'll tell you what, Beat It still comes on the radio. You're reaching for that volume knob and you don't turn it down. You turn it up every single time. Beat It's opening still works every single time. Well, today, MTV broadcasted the video of Billie Jean. Excuse me, not Beat It, but yeah, Billie Jean. Billie Jean today, not Beat It. Billie Jean, which is an iconic video. Guy's walking on a sidewalk. Everything's lighting up. He touches a light, a mailbox. That thing lights up. Billie Jean. Oh, by the way, speaking of Billie Bean, FJF. God, I saw a happy John Fisher talking about his stadium situation. Talking about a stadium situation in Las Vegas, and he was happy. And I don't like a happy John Fisher, not ever. But I do wish you a very happy Tuesday afternoon. Thank you so much for watching. Again, if you're interested in maybe sponsoring the channel, we have a position now officially open. Reach out if you would, please, and we can talk about something that maybe works for both of us. If you have a product, a business, a restaurant, a service that you're looking to get some 40 million eyeballs on, that's what we've amassed here already. We're over 41 million views here on Damon Bruce Plus. And thanks to so many of you for being a part of that 41 million each and every day here on Damon Bruce Plus. I thank you for coming on by today. I hope you have a wonderful afternoon, no matter where you are. And in the meantime, please do remember that sports don't build character. Let me find this. This is going to give you the old, where is it? Okay, ready? Sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
I found it.